Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at the same time each week. And again, we count it our privilege to be able to have you join with us in our Bible studies. We want to thank you for those that have taken time to write us. We appreciate that very much, to get your letters and a lot of good things. And thanking us for, I guess, being brazen enough to bring these kind of messages over the radio. And it's been a blessing to many, many, many people. Said, well, you know, we've thought these things and we've read these things and, you know, we hear these things and one thing or another, and here we have the scriptures here to back it up that the Catholic priest, the Lutheran preacher saying they can forgive your sins is so fraudulent and against the Bible that it's unbelievable that these preachers even have the audacity to stand up and make that kind of claim. And remember one person saying, you know, I never thought about this till you brought it out on the radio. That how can these preachers, and who forgives their sins? See, I never thought about that. We just always looked at them as, oh, well, they're holy men of God. Let me tell you something. There is no man who is holy men of God. All of that's a false presentation of Satan's ministers trying to present themselves as some holier than thou, putting a robe on, dressing themselves up, and they're really ministers of Satan when they say that they can forgive your sins, because there's only one person that can forgive your sins, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to continue on now, and I'm going to center here and confine this to the Roman Catholic Church now, and would like to recapitulate just a second here, and concerning gay marriages, or not gay marriages, but gay men and pedophiles. And I've had many, many people ask us, well, how can this happen? How can these men claim to love God and then be a pedophile and molest these little children and young children and so forth to do that? Well, there's a very simple answer, because the Roman Catholic Church does not even believe the Bible when the priests are to be married. And it's another false thing that's put out through this organization. But let me recapitulate just a second again. You remember last week, and this appeared in the Star Tribune, and they did a interview here, or it records, the Star Tribune, Tribune records an interview with a man by the name of Reverend Donald B. Cousins. And he heads the St. Mary's Seminary in Cleveland, Ohio. And he is also the author of two books, and two books which I have. I'll relate that to you in just a little bit. It's called The Sacred Silence. That's the name of the one book that this man wrote. And also The Changing Face of the Priesthood is another book that he wrote. I'd like to reiterate this just a second, but in his interview here, here is one of the things that should be quite a shock to some of you that are claimed to be a Catholic and you claim to support your church and so forth. Let me tell you what you have. It says the priesthood is or is becoming a gay profession. That's what Cousins writes. And he cites sociologist James G. Wolfe's 1989 assessment that 48.5% of the priests and 55.1% of seminarians are gay. Can you believe this? Now, this is almost 50% of your priests that are gay, and so forth. And it goes on to quote Reverend Cousins here. Now, he's the one who teaches the priest here in St. Mary's Seminary in Cleveland, Ohio. Cousins touches on Yale historian, Yale University historian John Boswell's contention that holy orders, that is your seminary students, has been an honorable sanctuary for gay men for centuries in his research. And then it goes on to cite here, it says, gays can be a destabilizing element for straight men in seminaries trying to discern their vocation, he said. Cousins recalled that one recent gifted candidate turned down the priestly life once he discovered the homosexual leaning of many of the men around him. Now, that's unbelievable. Mr. Pope, you're the head of the organization. Why didn't you kick him out? Why wasn't it brought to your attention by the bishops and so forth there? And why didn't you have him expelled, Mr. Pope? You're supposed to be a religious, holy man of God. Why didn't you do something about it? You're the head of the organization. Well, a lot of people are beginning to ask that, other than just have this man up here as a figurehead and so forth. I want to relate something else, if I can do this here, because this is a shock. So some of you people who are Roman Catholics and you go to that religious organization, let me tell you where some of your money is going to. Maybe you can hide your head in the sand and you don't want to, believe the truth. But anyway, this appeared in USA Today, Wednesday, on January the 5th here in 2005. Let me just go over this just a second if I can. It said, says here, this is what we really want to open up the truth as to what happened and be believed, said Barbara Blaine, founder of the Survivors Network of Those Abused Priests. Abused by priest. One of the most explosive features of the three-year-old national scandal is that some bishops, you get this now, these are your head men, these are supposed to be holy men of God, and men that you call father, and all that bunch of baloney. And the scandal is that some bishops protected, even promoted, can you get this, priests accused of abuse and shuffled them among unsuspecting parishes. Instead of exposing them and kicking them out of the priesthood, here their superiors just covered them up and sent them to another parish to go ahead and molest some other children. That's interesting, isn't it? And you men, you want me to belong to your organization? You have this kind of filth and cover-up and lies in your organization and your bishops? You've got to be kidding. Let me just give you something, then we'll go on here, okay? If we can. It says the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange County in California has announced details of the largest single settlement in the church's child abuse scandal. The diocese said money that it had agreed to a, get this now, $100 million civil settlement with 90 victims of abuse. The largest previous settlement was $85 million, was made in Boston in 2003. The latest settlement pushes the total cost, including care and counseling for victims, counseling for the priest. Priest, you're supposed to be men of God. You're supposed to be holy men, clean men, and so forth. And your pedophiles? To nearly $900 million nationwide. Now, let me give you this, and then we'll go on. It says the scandals cost really mount. It goes on to say legal settlements are the largest, but not the only, cost of the abuse scandal of the Roman Catholic Church. A USA Today study found that these dioceses have spent the most to date for settlements, along with care and counseling for victims and priests. Boston, Massachusetts has spent $120.6 million in order to get these settlements of these pedophiles. Orange, California, $104.7 million has been spent because of these pedophiles. These are pedophile priests. Portland, Oregon has spent, in their diocese, $53 million. Dallas, Texas, $47.7 million. Chicago, Illinois, $38.8 million. Bridgeport, Connecticut, $37.7 million. Santa Fe, $31.1 million. Louisville, Kentucky, $29 million. Lafayette, Louisiana, $26 million. And Manchester, New Hampshire, $20.3 million. I tell you what, you've got an organization that is saturated with pedophiles and homos. And I'm going to tell you truthfully, if I had a child, I wouldn't let a priest anywhere near him. And I tell you, I'd sit down with that priest and say, you look me in the eye, buddy, and you tell me you're not a homosexual. Look me in the eye and tell me that. And even if he said he wasn't, I wouldn't trust when you have 50%, 48 point some percent that are homos, and 55%, according to the research that these men have made here, that are homosexuals and pedophiles, a distinction they didn't make, but includes both. Now, this is very interesting because this is a church that claims to be the mother church. And as the mother church, they're supposed to be, as they claim, but let me say this again, nowhere in the Bible ever do you find the Roman Catholic Church as the mother church. This is a bunch of made-up garbage that is passed on to the ignorant parishioners that actually believe this kind of a lie. Find me anywhere in the Bible where the Roman Catholic Church is the mother church. I find in the book of Revelation there is a church of Laodicea. I don't see anything about Roman Catholic. There is a Church of Philadelphia. I don't see anything about the Roman Catholic or the Mother Church or anything like that. The Church of Sardis, the Church of Philadelphia. And I don't find any of these seven churches anything where Roman Catholic, Catholic is even involved in it, you know. And there were churches in the early church that were held in their homes. I don't see anything about a priest there. I don't see anything about a Roman Catholic there. I don't see anything about a Mother Church there. This is the kind of propaganda that is passed on to us parishioners who don't carry a Bible to church, who don't read the Bible. There are exceptions, of course. But let's get back here to these pedophiles and homosexuals, and let's find out what the cause is. I've had many people, and even Roman Catholics, ask me, why do you think we got so many priests that are pedophiles and homos? I said, well, one great cause is, I don't know what the Pope's teaching, or the cardinals, or the bishops, or what, but the Bible surely is not involved, because the Bible says these priests are to be married. Now, let's go back in our Bibles here to the book of Leviticus here in chapter 21. In chapter 21 of the book of Leviticus, it speaks of the priest. And let me say this, there are no priests today. We're going to cover that as we get a little bit on here, because we're going to show you some of the things that the Roman Catholic Church teaches that nowhere is found in the Bible whatsoever. Now, first of all, if you're going to be a priest, you have to be married. If you'll go to chapter 21, you'll begin to see here, if you start with the first verse on down, it begins to talk about the priest. It's talking about the priest and the high priest. But I'm going to get right to the point and get to verse 13 here, and this is exactly what God says. And he, that is the priest, shall take a wife in her virginity. He shall take a wife, not we wish you would or you could if you wanted to. The orders from God are, if you're going to be a priest, you shall take a wife. And then in verse 14, it says this, who are you to take as a wife, Mr. Priest? A widow or a divorced woman or profane or a harlot, these shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife. He shall. Now, Mr. Pope, I just want to ask you something, sir. Don't you ever read your Bible? And you cardinals, and you priests, and you bishops, don't you ever? You're supposed to teach the Bible. Did you ever teach your priest here that they have to be married? Where in the world do you come up with this? Well, we're going to see where it actually comes as a satanic, demonic, from Satan doctrine, not to have the priest married. Isn't that something? And yet this church says we're the mother church, and all authority is invested into us? Well, that's sort of ridiculous, isn't it? Now, let's go along with the same principle here, because let me read it again. He shall take a wife in her virginity, and he shall not take a widow or divorced woman or profane or a harlot. These shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife. Excuse me. Now, he's supposed to be married. Now, if I'm going to trust a church and you can't even have your own priest be married, and you're going to trust and tell me and shove these same priests out here that aren't even married, they're disobeying the Bible themselves, and you're going to shove them out in front of me and have them tell me that they're going to forgive my sins? What a joke! You know, this is almost unbelievable. But if you follow this organization, you follow this religion, never carry your Bible to church, they're not going to teach you what the Bible says. They're going to get little parables and little things and real nicey-nicey, but they're not going to teach you these things. And yet, why not? Why would they not? You see. Now, let's go in our Bibles, and the same thing applies today for pastors. All right? We come over here to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we begin to find here, and you'll notice, very simple, that in verse 1 of chapter 3, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop, now let me just point this out if you do a detailed study of this, a bishop and an elder and an overseer are synonymous words for the office of a leader or a pastor. But notice in verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. That bishop is to be married. We come on down to deacons, because deacons are another office of the church. And I'd like for you to notice. We come down here to verse 12, after verses 8 to 11, give qualifications here for the deacon. And then it comes to verse 12 and it said, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. Priest, why aren't you guys married? Why don't you get married? You're supposed to be Mr. Pope. Why aren't you telling your cardinals and your bishops and your priests they have to be married or they can't be a priest? And you do just the opposite, sir. You're teaching them to actually disobey the Lord. And on your flimsy excuse, well, they can serve the Lord better. Yeah, pedophiling young children, is that how they serve them better? They shove them out and say, we can forgive your sins? It's filled full of corruption. And yet you're supposed to be honest. You're supposed to be holy men. You're supposed to be men that teach the Bible to the people. And you teach them just the opposite, sir. It's unbelievable. So here, even today for pastors, one of the qualifications is they must be married. For a deacon, they must be married. For a priest, the priest shall be married. It's a command. You have to be married. Now, why does it come here for pedophiles and so forth? Let's see what God said. If you remember last week when we went to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, you begin to find out that the penalty for one man having a sexual relationship with another man as a homosexual, God said, kill him. Put him to death. I don't want the world becoming a Sodom and Gomorrah. It is filth, it is dirt, it is a perverted mind. And now in our society today, it's just an alternative lifestyle. And if these two men just love each other, we should honor that. You are of satanic philosophy, whoever comes up with that kind of philosophy. That's Satan. Now, I want to take you somewhere, if I can, and show you where this, the priests are not to be married. I'd like for you to go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And these are two things that the Roman Catholic Church seemed to endorse and do it very readily. And yet, we find out these are Satan's doctrines. These are his demons' doctrines. I'd like for you to go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and let's begin here in verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 1. Notice what it says. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now listen to the next part of this verse. They're going to depart from the faith, and why are they going to depart from the faith? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, which is always demons. You mean these demons that you see running around, these little things that they picture on television and so forth, and Satan with the red suit on and the long tail and the pitchfork and that? That's exactly what he wants you to think he looks like. But he doesn't. You know what he looks like? He looks like a very refined man. He looks like a man of culture, a man of education, a great orator. Oh, sure, and just so loving. But God says in 2 Corinthians that he's a minister of Satan. He's a minister of Satan. He's a god of unrighteousness. But he appears to dress himself up as an angel of light, and he counterfeits himself to you, and you've bought it. Many of you people have. I'd like for you to go on down and see the two main lies that he propagates. It's unbelievable. They speak lies, these preachers, demon-possessed, in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. It's branded in them. And here's the two things. Forbidding to marry. This is a doctrine of Satan. You're forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. So you're telling me two things in the Roman Catholic Church that I have heard for years and years and years, and I've wondered, where in the world do you ever come up with this? Well, as a young boy, I never knew about the Bible saying that forbidding to marry is a satanic, demony, damnable doctrine that no church or no individual should, under any circumstances, permit, or forbid, I should say, a person from getting married. If they are in love with a woman, a woman's in love with him, then they should not be forbidden. Why would a church forbid a man to be married when that man is ordered by God to be married or he can't have the position? The church, Catholic Church, teaches just the opposite. If any of you ever read your Bible. And then we come down here and find out in 1 Timothy, when Paul wrote to Timothy under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and he said, these are doctrines of demons, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. And then I used to hear, well, let's eat fish on Friday. And I used to wonder as a boy, who in the world concocted this bunch of baloney up? That you're, and just to go to show you how much powerful Satan is. He is the God of this world, isn't he? And he works through religion. And we come, and now we have Catholics, and some of these people think that, and it is infiltrated into the schools, into the restaurants, eating places. Friday, we're going to serve fish. Where did this ever come from? Came out of the Roman Catholic Church. And this is supposed to be doing something for God? Now, I'd like for you to hold your place. It's bad enough to say a priest cannot be married when the Bible says you have to be married. So, Mr. Pope, maybe you better start reading your Bible, sir, because you're teaching your priest to do exactly opposite of what the Bible says. Unbelievable. So we come over here to 1 Corinthians here in chapter 8, verse 8, and then we have this organization coming out, and we're going to pretend to be religious again, and we're going to throw something out that the whole world has followed. And I bet Satan just loves that. You crazy people, and sits back and laughs, you're not going to eat meat on Friday. Who in the world ever thought that damnable doctrine up? Now let's see what the Bible says, okay? We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and notice in verse 8, but meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, and neither if we eat not are we the worse. What in the world are you doing, Mr. Roman Catholic Church? Tell me what you are doing. Playing games with the Word of God? Now, you're telling people that it's going to be doing something for God. That's what many, many Catholics have told me. And I say, what do you think you're sinning? Well, we could be. Well, who told you you're sinning if you don't eat meat on Friday? You know, I mean, where did this come from? Why are you eating fish on Friday? I mean, where at in the Bible? And yet the Bible says, but meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. And it says over here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, where it says, for every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, you see? And he says here, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. So what are you doing, Mr. Religious Organization, telling priests that they can't be married when the Bible says they have to be married, and then you're putting some kind of religious paraphernalia that exists absolutely nowhere in the Bible, but it does exactly opposite of the Bible, and you're telling and leading your people to believe that we got to eat fish on Friday when the Bible says, meat commandeth us not to God, for whether we eat, we're not the better, and whether we eat not, we're not the worse. And God says, everything I've created, go ahead and eat it if it be received with thanksgiving, and you're telling your people not to eat meat on Friday. What in the world did you ever dream that one up at? I wonder what group of men sit back in a little council playing games with themselves and dreamed that up and then passed it on. And Mr. Pope, you're supposed to be the head of the church. When did you give your approval of this? When did this come out? I mean, you're supposed to know the Bible, sir. And yet you got two things here that you're propagating on people exactly opposite and contrary to the Bible. And you want me to go to your priest that disobeyed the Bible and are telling me not to eat meat on Friday and to eat fish, and you're telling me, sir, that you won't even believe the Bible because you should be married. You have to be married to be a priest, if there were any today, and you do exactly the opposite. And then you come out and present yourself and put your robe on and say, come and confess your sins to me, when in reality you lied again. Because nobody can forgive my sins, and who forgive yours, Mr. Priest? The only person that forgives mine is the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll tell you right now, I'm not trusting you, Mr. Priest, and I'm not trusting you, Mr. Lutheran Preacher, because you can't even forgive your own sins. You're lying to the people, and Jesus Christ is the only one. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And both of you so-called preachers are telling people you can forgive their sins. These are just a few things, and the next thing we'll teach, why do you call the priest Father when Jesus Christ said absolutely do not address him as a father? That's interesting. I see our time slipped away. I want to thank you for joining with us. I hope this will challenge you to get your Bible out and take these verses and go to your priest and ask him, why are you teaching these things? Why don't you obey the Bible yourself? And I'd write the Pope, if you never get through to him. Say, you're supposed to oversee this church. Why don't you clean these pedophiles out? Why don't you clean these homosexuals out? Why don't you get your priest married? And why don't you give up this bunch of baloney about eating fish on Friday and so forth? Where'd you ever concoct that thing at? And why don't you start teaching the Bible as a religious organization? I believe you would, or you should. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, I hope you're not trusting the church. I hope you're not trusting the priest or the Lutheran preacher. But I hope you're trusting Jesus Christ, because if you're not trusting Christ, you're lost on your way to hell. Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Well, our time's gone. We hope you'll take time to write. Our address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Like to have you join in our church services from Sunday morning from 10 o'clock to 11, Sunday night from 6 o'clock till 7, and then if you have teenagers, we love for them to come to our youth group every Thursday night from 7 o'clock till 9. Well, we thank you. We hope you'll keep on writing, keep on listening. Let us know that you listen. And until the Lord comes back in those clouds and raptures the church home, we pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.